Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer, and this is Elite of the Week, coming to you live from the Elite of the Week studios here in sunny Southern California. And have we got a show for you? We've got the shenanigans, we've got the hijinks, and we even have the flim flam. But before we get into all the action, I need to bring up one of my co-hosts, the first anyways. First up, the man who is the originator, the standard bearer, the man that all other hosts are based on, coming from a land far away, but once here at his new home, he was adopted by a farmer and raised as a symbol of hope, even in a darker universe than the one we marvel at. His name is Flobo Boyce. Flobo, how are you, buddy?
Woo-wee, man, I'm doing pretty good, man. I like your comic book intro because it's definitely two different characters, but I think one is more likely than the other, so I'm a little curious to what it is.
Yeah, it's you know, no one ever tries to guess these, so I'm just gonna say it, you can just guess. Go ahead and guess. We'll kill this gimmick because I don't think anyone ever guesses or cares.
Well, if it's not Icon from Milestone Comics, then it's Superman.
Yes, of course. I'm like, I don't know Icon. Come on.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's Superman. I just thought it was funny to say that you were adopted by a farmer.
Yeah, being the farmer. I'll totally be at your house. You see the suit guy you have? It's dope.
Yeah, it's his wing is getting pretty full with suits, but we'll have to clear that out. But let's go ahead and keep on moving. I'm gonna add in our next host, the man whose hair is a natural wonder of the world. He's the law doctor, Roger Corral. Roger, how are you?
What is up, fellas? Is that another comic book reference?
No, your hair's all natural. It is pretty natural. It's the only thing you need to add to God to your hair is the kiss of God to make it look that way. But you guys, we have a special guest in the building, the man who pulls the strings, the tweeter of things, the face behind the machine, ladies and gentlemen, it's Steve Kaufman. How are you, Steve?
Why, hello, thank you for having me. I was curious. I was curious what kind of intro I was going to get.
Yeah,
was it satisfactory?
I was curious, like, what comic book reference or like what physical attribute. Like, I was really because the thing about I normally do stuff on Zoom instead of StreamYard. The thing about on Zoom is that you're all on Zoom and then you decide to broadcast Zoom, whereas if you're in StreamYard, you're just alone by yourself and then the show starts. Right. So in the ether. Come in and you're like, this man was adopted by a farmer and is an alien and has super strength. And I'm like, is that me? I hope that's not me.
I like people to just be alone in darkness before they come in, just like birth. You don't have any idea of existence until you're born, and then it's here. You're a part of it. You're part of the show. I like to introduce Flobo with a vague comic reference. It's something that just started a long time ago, and now it's here. But with Roger, it's just because he's got gorgeous hair.
Roger does have gorgeous hair.
I don't know what's gonna happen in my intro when I cut my hair, but
you're gonna be in the show. Does he have a job to cut his hair?
No. Once you cut your hair, you're gone. You're done. Yeah, I don't see any need for you anymore.
Had to grow a beard for that reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Funny enough, there's truth to that comment. but I don't want to pull back the curtain too far. I don't want to get too far into all that. I just want to get into the action, fellas. But before we do, let me just kind of get your overall thoughts. Steve, you're the guest, so we'll let you go first. This episode of AEW Dynamite, just overall thoughts.
My overall thoughts on this episode of AEW Dynamite were positive. I feel especially with Blood and Guts being May 4th and then Double or Nothing being May 30th, you can't give too much away, as they say. Mm-hmm. So even when you say we have two title matches, you're also like, it's Tay Conti and then Jungle Boy. Like, we're not scorching earth. You should still tune in. It's still great. Like, it's a,
yeah.
To bring it back to comic books, it's like a weekly. It's a really solid weekly, but it's not the, is it called an omnibus? It's not called an omnibus. Like, what? It's not a monthly or an annual. An annual would be. Yeah.
That's a Flobo question.
Yeah, it will be a monthly. Yeah.
Yes, a monthly. Like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, that's what I like about you, Steve. And that's why I like you being on the show is you're so analytical and you always see things. See me, I'm just like flashing lights. This is great. But you actually see the math and science behind it all.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. Sorry to cut it in here. Because look, it's the first time here, Steven. Jack says preposterous things and I have to take them. If I would have said the same exact thing you would have said, he'd be like, oh, you a hater. You just mad Christians are good. When Steve Kaufman does it, oh, you're so analytical. Wow. That's really cool.
Flobo, you don't make any sense at all. What did you think of the show? This episode.
I'm afraid to answer that question now. I feel like everything I'm going to say is going to be wrong.
Let's all really hone in on what Flobo's about to say.
I'm going to step on everything and make my voice heard. Let's hear it.
Yes, make my voice heard for a change. Looking pretty cool. Maybe I'm the wrong one here. I thought we were going to have a new women's champion because there were two title defenses that seemed kind of rank and file and weekly. I thought one of them was going to be a change, and they gave Ty Conti the buildup they deserved, and Britt Baker was in the wings, but I didn't think they would pull the proverbial trigger tonight for their sit-down action, but I'm glad they did.
And Roger, how do you feel? I feel like right now we're kind of split. Do you think this was a great episode or a pile of garbage? There is no in-between.
I think every week is a big kahuna for me. And tonight was a big kahuna again. Didn't they hit like 1.1 million viewers last week? I expect 1.1 again this week, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, so looks like we're a little bit split in the chat as well. I loved it. I thought this was a great episode, top to bottom. But hey, everyone's, you know, they get their own opinions. Let's go ahead and get to the meat and potatoes of this show, though. This is what the show's really about. It's called Elite of the Week because what we do is we go through and we power rank the wrestlers 1 through 10. Steve, I don't know if you've seen the show before, but the way it works is I have a lot of algorithms and things that I go through to pick the actual proper power rankings of each wrestler each week, and I present them to you guys, and you tell me just how accurate and correct I am and how there's zero flaws and there's no way I could be mistaken in any way, shape, or form, or you tell me I'm wrong one way or the other. And what happens, though, this is the best part of the show, is every person who gets ranked, the person who gets ranked number one gets 10 points. The person who gets ranked number two gets 9 points. Number three gets 8 points, and so on down until number 10 gets 1 point. I keep track of the points, Steve. So at the end of the year, I'm going to tally up all the points, and we're going to have a true blue, the most accurate power rankings for the year in all of the universe, I may humbly say.
So me as the guest, who's an avatar to any new listener.
Yeah.
Do you keep a running tally? Like, could you tell me who is currently in the lead?
I could, but I'm not because I want to be a surprise.
The big thing about all this, none of us get to see the list.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay.
So, but Steve,
down foundation,
now,
yeah.
Now, Steve, as an avatar, I think you would agree that one, that seems fishy, but two, it also fits in the world of pro wrestling pretty well.
Oh, it 100% fits in the world of pro wrestling. You and I were DMing about this earlier.
Yes.
There are folks at WrestleNomics who are applying chess rankings to actual pro wrestlers because AEW didn't do that. AEW had the opportunity to do that when they started rankings. And they're like, no, we're just going to go win-loss and then sort by percent win. And that's going to be the ranking.
So see, the thing about WrestleNomics is they've got all the math just right, but they're missing something. They're missing the gut, how it feels. I'm the one that brings that in. I'm the one that keeps that real, keeps it pure, not just the numbers. Actually, I like WrestleNomics. They're a good follow. You should follow them on Twitter if you don't. But let's get into the show.
Are we not going to talk about that? Jack says, I keeps it real and no one said anything about that? Jack Farmer keeps it real?
Let him believe it, man. Let him believe.
I try to run this show very much like a game of NFL football where if I can get the next playoff before you throw the challenge flag, then it stands forever.
No debate.
Is this week the roast of Jack Farmer, or is that every week?
It's most weeks.
Never. He always wins. He always wins. It's his list. Well,
he controls it.
A roast is a concerto. Like when you concerto one instrument, that instrument wins. I get that, but it's a roast.
The mute button.
I am going to turn all of your screens off, and I'm just going to talk. But let's get into it. Let's get into Number one, it's Darby Allin. I know not many people watch Dark, but Darby had his best promo so far in AEW on Dark, building up to the match tonight, and I wish they showed it again, but this is about tonight. I loved his face paint and how good it's getting, looking more and more like a real skeleton, and I don't know if it's intentional, but to me, it feels like the way the paint is becoming more clear and more sharp is almost a parallel to how he's developing and growing and coming into focus on AEW Dynamite. It's also almost surreal to see how time has passed, as it wasn't that long ago we were all saying Darby Allin and Jungle Boy are the future of AEW, and now we're here seeing these two in the main event of AEW Dynamite fighting for a title. All that said, Darby Allin delivered yet again in an amazing match that deserved a main event spot for the title of Face of TNT on the line, as he was able to overcome Jungle Boy, getting help back into the ring, and was able to escape the snare trap, something no one has ever been able to do before twice. Also got a little extra gritty and gutted out another victory to retain the TNT title. That's why I put him at number one. Steve, do you think that's a fair number one ranking for tonight?
For the last 7 nights? Yes.
Yes. That's, yes. That, and that's a good point. That's what this is. It's,
no, no, it's hear me out.
This episode.
I mean, just in general, the TNT championship can't be ranked higher than the AEW championship. But if Kenny Omega literally doesn't show up at all,
yes,
I'm with you.
Exactly. So see, you got it. You get it. These two jokers don't seem to get it all the time, but you and I
want to say this, that Roger usually agrees with you, and you threw him under the bus anyway.
Like, what? I'm just here, man.
Joker.
I see a bus, I'm throwing someone under it. Roger, you and I actually do agree most of the time. Do you think this is a good spot for Darby Allin?
I do. This guy's been throwing himself everywhere the past 2 weeks. He threw himself off of a scaffold last week onto the table. He threw himself onto the apron this week. Darby Allin is a beast, man. And, you know, I like one of the commentators mentioned, would you prefer to have a dinosaur with you or an icon with you in your corner? And I think dinosaur. Darby made the wise decision. He has Sting in his corner. He came out with another victory. Good spot for him.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough to argue, but Flobo always finds a way. Flobo, Darby Allin, number one, ahead of everybody, including Christian Cage. Do you think this is a fair spot for the TNT?
Absolutely
champ?
Not. Number one will always be Christian Cage. That's the number one spot. The legend. I mean, NWA former. Look, Darby Allin did okay, but how many times are we going to give him gold stars for doing serviceable work? He was in the main event, sure, but his favorite competition was Jungle Boy, someone I've been told for months upon months upon months that he's going to be the future, but he's never had any kind of momentum to say, yeah, okay, the match was great. It was awesome. But you're telling me that was tops? That's worth 10 points today? Jack Farmer, how dare you? What are these standards? They keep flip-flopping. They keep going helter-skelter and flim-flamming. Not 10 points for me this week. Not even 9 points for me this week. It should be Christian Cage.
Serviceable work. That was a great match.
Did you see people on Twitter?
They were all a twit.
They were all a twit because it was the main event. Come on, man.
Jungle Boy is 4-0 this year. What is Christian Cage's record?
Christian Cage is undefeated. That's all you need to know.
He never works.
He's undefeated, man.
Mr. Outwork, everyone never shows up.
Outwork, everyone. Look, don't make this about Christian Cage. I know you're a bunch of haters, but you can't give Darby Allin 10 points every week because he defends the title, which is designed to be defended as often as possible. Come on, Jack Farmer. Are you kidding me?
On the show, Ty Conte
went above and beyond and took the champion to the limit. You're telling me that's still worse than someone defending their title against an opponent who we all like, but hasn't really been a threat to any kind of title or main event scene? Is that what we're saying?
We just talked about how he's 4-0.
He's not been a threat. You can win matches all day long. Goldberg won matches, but he was a threat later on. I'm saying, yes, 4-0 was great.
Goldberg's never not been a threat in his entire
4-0
career.
4-0 was great, but Jungle Boy's always been someone that we always say, okay, here's his chance, and he's been stopping and starting. So if the competition shouldn't matter for this list, does it not?
He does have a strong competition, and I'll say this. JR said it. Right now, overall, in AEW, Jungle Boy has 42 wins, second only to Kenny Omega. So you say he's straight the competition. This guy's got more wins than anybody else.
But when it counts and when it matters.
See what I deal with here, Steve?
I will point out, most of Jungle Boy's 42 compared to Kenny Omega's 44 are tag or trios. What are we doing?
I report facts. If you don't like facts, it's all good, bro.
I think Jungle Boy is a formidable opponent for Darby Allin, but I mean,
Steve. I want all of your facts to be approved before.
You didn't see the email? I sent you an email at 8:03 p.m. Right. What were you up to?
What were you doing?
So we got a few comments in the chat. And I want to say thank you to everyone who is in the chat joining us live and everyone listening along later on Spotify or iTunes and anyone watching, of course, on Twitch or here on YouTube, or I think I got it streaming up on Twitter finally. I figured that whole thing out, which is pretty cool. So anyone who's watching along, thanks so much for joining us. If you could do a favor, hit the share button, hit the like button, leave a 5-star review, leave a comment, all that good stuff. It's how we keep the lights on. I pay the bills with likes. It's very weird. It's a weird arrangement I have with the power.
Out of cash, get likes, bro.
It's this weird crypto thing. You've tried to explain to me multiple times. I still don't get it. You keep saying, to the moon.
He's going to the moon, baby.
Every time I ask you questions, you just, to the moon.
To the moon.
But how does the electric company take money?
Listen, there's NFTs involved. There's crypto, as you mentioned. It's very complicated. It's very confusing. But I take the likes. I give it to them. It all works out. It's a cool system. And I'm sure Venmo is going to offer it very soon.
I feel like we're going to end up with a fire fest by the end of the year.
Yeah.
I can only hope it's that successful. At number two, we have Hangman Adam Page. Very few people in pro wrestling could hang in the cool zone with someone like Ricky Starks, but Adam Page can, putting his top-ranked number one contendership spot on the line, showing incredible strength from out on the range with a top rope fall-away slam and a clothesline that turned Ricky Starks inside out and got as close to a pin as possible. But it was the over-the-back, inverted Hangman's bulldog into a submission that showed he's more than a tough guy with a Marlboro Man style. He's also a smart wrestling technician that deserves every bit of that top spot he's ranked at. And he'll need it all as the showdown at the OK Corral with the machine they call Cage is looming at high noon next week. Roger, I know you're a fan of the Caps clad Hangman Adam Page, but did his win in the opener give him enough momentum to get him at number two?
It did. And you said the word corral. My last name is Corral. This is meant to be. It's meant to be.
You're like, now it's supposed to be number one because I threw in a corral comment.
Yeah, he goes up a rank. I think Hangman Page, I don't know if it's becoming a trend. I don't know if it's always the case. He's opening up every week. Like I said before, this is a guy to open up your show. If I paid hard-earned money to go watch a wrestling show and that's how you open up with Hangman delivering some action, some good clotheslines, what more could you ask for? And when things got tough at the end and he got attacked by Hook and his legion of hookers, like Hangman came through, and he, like the commentator said, he has friends in dark places. And that's a good friend to me, man.
I love the friends in dark places comment. I also love Hook and his hookers. I really need to find a way to get that on TV. Okay,
we need a hooker section.
If you're Tony Khan, you're gonna buy all these songs and whatnot. Just pay whatever fines you're gonna get for calling hookers. But
bring back the hoe train, baby.
He's paying all the other fines. You might as well.
Yeah, I mean, why not? You know, my theory is if it's someone else's money, feel free to spend it, right? AEW. Tony Khan may disagree, but Flobo, I see you making faces unhappy about this. Do you think that Hangman earned a spot here at number two?
In my defense, I was making faces at the phrase Legion of Hookers because that just has a bunch of mental images. I was like, huh? It was fine. I mean, I don't disagree necessarily. I mean, it was fine. I think it's the stakes of the matchup matters. Ricky Starks is formidable.
I think it's worth it. My only gripe has always been the Dark Order. I wish I knew what that was. I still don't know what it is. I'm never going to get an answer to what that is. You know what I mean? But hey, look, if it gets, yeah, oh, sure. Yeah. Everyone tells me to join Dark Order, but what is it, a culture club? Is it a Discord server? What is it? No one can tell me what it is. But actually, it was fun.
I'm actually with Flobo here. Say what you must about the Wyatt family. You always knew what the Wyatt family was and wasn't.
Thank you. I know. But nice points for Adam. Yeah, exactly. They've been lying to you, man. But 9 points for Adam Page. I'm with it every time. It's one of my favorites.
So, Steve, to answer your question, the Dark Order, the way it works is it's free to get information. Then you pay a fee and you get to the first level.
Okay.
You pay more money and you get to the next level. And it just continues from there.
It's a pyramid scheme?
Are you interested in joining?
Bring two friends, yeah.
Is there any type of pseudoscience that measures something in my body?
Oh, there's plenty of that.
Me move up those levels.
There's a good chance you'll be a movie star.
Do I get the Legion of Hookers? That's the question.
Yeah, that's the question everyone's asking. That's
the fourth phase.
Are you, Steve, what's funny, we haven't had a chance to really talk much about AEW. Are you a fan of Hangman Adam Page?
I am a huge fan of Hangman Adam Page. I am, I'd say, disappointed where he was at the beginning of the promotion to where he is now.
Fair.
Interesting.
I felt, and I feel like we were all in hallways in North Hollywood having this conversation where, when it was up to him and Chris Jericho to become AEW world champion, I always felt you should have your first world champion be Hangman Adam Page. And the argument I always faced was, well, who's that? And I was like, he's the guy who beat Chris Jericho. He'd be set. Chris Jericho's already set. Chris Jericho can beat him in a month, but let him be first. Let him assert dominance. Let him ride in on a horse and win. And then they never did that. And I think in 2021, where we're at now, I think that can't help but tarnish where he is to me. And that's nothing against that performer and everything against his booking. Mm-hmm.
Is there a part of you that thinks, because I get what you're saying. I also think he's probably the guy that is going to be the guy for them going forward, at least at some point. Is there anything to the slow burn, the boyhood dream came true moment after being there for a long time and us all wanting him to be that guy and having that big moment when it finally happens versus starting there?
But do you think this has been a 2-year groundswell, or do you think it was the one time and like, oh, he didn't win? And then we got caught up with Jericho. Then we got caught up with Omega. We got caught up with Moxley in different order. Like, we got caught up with everyone else that I worry, like, I feel the excitement for him getting a title shot, let's say a Double or Nothing, wouldn't be as exciting as it was at the first All Out.
Kaufman's right.
No, he's not right.
Roger,
Hangman is beloved. My wife loves Hangman, and she doesn't watch any of the rest of AEW. Like, Hangman is really beloved. I think my counter argument to that is you can't love someone you don't know. And no one knew most of these guys in AEW. You don't have AEW without Chris Jericho. And I think Hangman really benefited from all of this slow burn. And I mean, that's why he had match of the year last year with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. Like, he became a part of that. And I think now he's really solidified. I think there's an argument to be made, you know, that he hasn't done much since, but you know, we were in a pandemic and things kind of got flipped around everywhere regardless. But I think Hangman is really loved though.
It's one of those things. It's tough because there's always the what if, and you never really know what if. Because my concern is if he did win, would be the he's being shoved down our throats thing, or he's being forced thing. But to Steve's point, maybe he would just be a massive superstar, and he'd be the guy that we look at as the best in the company. So it is one of those tough things, and I actually see both sides of it, to be totally honest. I love him now, so I'm kind of like, hey, this is working. Why would I want to change the past? But I get your point on that, Steve.
I love him now, and I worry, and it's kind of like It's kind of like the Peanuts kid, Charlie Brown. It's kind of like Charlie Brown in the football.
Peanuts. I'm sorry.
It kind of feels like Charlie Brown in the football. Like I want to get behind Adam Page, but I remember the last time I got behind Adam Page, I wound up buying a whole pay-per-view.
I'm kind of in the same boat here. I'm in the middle, I should say. I thought Chris Jericho would be the first championship, made the most sense. He had this new promotion. There was a name that Chris Jericho still had. I don't like having the first champion drop it, that is. But there was a time, about this time last year, where it would have been perfect and natural for Hangman to be that guy. But what we're having now is like, are we missing the boat? Because Hangman the Dark Order is cool, it's fun, and I don't want to sound mean. Oh, on purpose. You guys are mean for the show. But like that stable is still riding the fumes of Mr. Brody Lee. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It just kind of like that group was Brody Lee's group. And so if they had to be redefined, you already have a cowboy that's ready to go. Having that established character hang out with other people we don't know what they're about just makes him look less as a stock or as a valuable candidate. But to this week, I think it was a good outing for him, though.
One thing I think we'd all agree on is whenever there's a crowd back and they have a big show, he needs to ride a horse down to the ring. I just think that would be the coolest thing ever. And if he does become the champion, I want him to make it a cowboy belt buckle somehow. I don't know how that would be any different, but I want it to be a cowboy belt buckle.
More cowbell.
At number three, we have Hikaru Shida. As Excalibur said, she's never been a champ in front of crowds, which really makes me want to see her hold on to that title a little bit longer just because I feel like she's earned it. And she had another great showing again as champ. She took on an amazing challenger and once again didn't just put her title on the line, but represented an entire division. And I don't know what happened over the past few weeks or months, but it really feels like the women's division decided to just blow the roof off of Daly's Place from here on out. And I'm here for it because I'm thinking it's adding multiple bullet points to the resume that will one day be Hikaru Shida's list of reasons that she's a true founding member of the AEW women's division legacy. Flobo, you had talked about the challenger earlier on. Shida retained. Do you think she's earned a spot at number three?
No. I think if you're going to put someone in that top three, it should be Tay Conti. And it's not, I mean, I'm a fan of Shida. No, I'm not a hater of Shida. I'm not a hater of the women's division in AEW. Everything is not perfect. I get that. But you have this talent in Shida, and she's had that championship for so long, it kind of felt like when I had to do my homework the night before, right? That promo package that I'm here to fight should be that the entire time. And if anything, I was more excited for Tay's opportunity than the actual champion. That's a critical problem because it should be about Tay's, or it should be about the championship, the champion, or the championship title. But now it's more like who's going to take the belt off of Shida. I am bored of Shida, and that's a bad thing to be. So I had Tay in the top three there, but I'm not going to go poo-poo the segment, the match, or the division because it was great.
So Dylan Matthews, I think, agrees with you in the chat. He says Shida has a 331-plus day title reign, and she's only defended it 8 times. Now, Steve.
She's Walter.
I get where, well, I'm not going to, Walter's number one on any list he wants to be on. But, I'll tell him you disagree with that, Flobo. Steve, to Flobo's point, Tay Conti did great, but is it like she can't be ahead of the person that won in her match, right?
I've yet to audit your algorithm to know for sure.
There is none.
But I would assume that would be a rule you'd write into it to make sure you wouldn't have these problems. I think Tay Conti has
did not do it.
If he did it, he did. I don't know. It's his algorithm.
Yeah, it's very complicated.
He refuses to give us any information about it. So as such, who knows? I think Tay Conti showed us a bit more in the last, let's call it 15 days, than Shida has. So if we're going by what they've shown us, how their stature among the audience has grown, I feel like Tay Conti is the name that walked away. Whereas if you were a casual viewer, maybe you tuned in less than once a month and you saw this match, you may not have known who Tay Conti was, but you do now. And it's on Hikaru Shida for her 331-day 8 defense reign to have already convinced you who she was.
These are all great points all around. I think Tecanti did great. I can't imagine winning a match, beating, like, I can't imagine if we were doing anything and like if I won something and then the person I beat was ranked higher than me. That wouldn't make any sense to me. And I think where it really comes to a head is that Sheeta's the top of the division. So she's like the ceiling of the division. I don't know how you can be higher than the person who is the top of the division. Right now I'm being outnumbered though. Roger, do you think this was the right call to put Sheeta here?
Yeah, I think they've lost their minds, man. Hikaru Shida is a very worthy champion. And I just want to say, rest in peace, Tay Conti's back. My goodness, that back got destroyed. Like, that thing got thrown all over Daily's place. And that's all from Hikaru Shida. Her moveset is amazing. If you're a little kid watching wrestling and you see that entrance, you see that outfit, you see these moves, what more could you want in a wrestler, man? You guys are tripping.
I mean, I guess I agree with Roger here. Again, no disrespect to Tay Conti. We're only at number three. Come on. Like, you know, we're splitting hairs.
Didn't
here,
have to resort to names, Roger.
Good points all around. I think that now it's time for what we have a little special award we give every week. We have a couple special awards every week, Steve. This one is called the Best Dressed Award. You get a bonus point if you're the best dressed of the week. And this week, the best dressed was the Young Bucks.
The outfits
were amazing. Short shorts, track suits. They had everything. Lightning bolt earrings, newsboy hats, and more. I worry this may end up being an award that they get a little too often, but it's just so hard not to call them the best dressed. Steve, looking at all the fashion today, I know you're a fashion guy. I know you know a good-looking outfit when you see one. Do you think the Young Bucks stole the show in the wardrobe department?
I can't say no without having someone else in mind, right?
Right.
The scarf. I'm going to say MJF with that. With that satin scarf.
That was a close one. guys, do you, Roger, do you think the Young Bucks won? Yeah, we park our car in the same garage there, right?
Same garage, baby. But every week they're stepping up their game. I told you guys this, the 90s are coming back. If you go out in the streets, the flares, the baggy jeans, it's all coming back. The Shawn Michaels chaps. Like, that's all we're missing. That's all we're missing. They're channeling 1994, 95 Shawn Michaels. They look excellent. Nick Jackson looked like Sean Paul. I loved it all, man.
I am so glad I saved my windbreakers and bomber jackets because I am going to be so cool.
We're coming back.
90s never left.
Lobo, you and I never agree on best dressed, but do you think the Young Bucks did enough to win today?
Well, we're in Jenkins, bro. That's what we always agree on. No, I didn't have them at all because, you know, I'm a big Young Bucks hater and I'll never be on any list I'll ever make. So I actually had Ricky Starks there because, again, top star is important. If you didn't know Adam Page, you know what we're about. Ricky Starks looked like he just got off the runway and was going to beat people up in the face. That was pretty dope. So he was my pick for best dressed.
He was actually the runner up. Just FYI, I agree. Oh. I thought his outfit was really good today. So I would hate.
Tony Schiavone never gets enough props, and he looks fly every week, guys. Like he has an earring. Yeah. He rocks the khakis. No one else rocks the khakis. I just wanted to mention it. I'm sorry.
I hate khakis, but dope earring though.
Is fly what we're calling that?
Again, the 90s.
Slamming.
And Tony Schiavone's a client of mine, and I'd say it.
Yeah,
please let him know.
Let's go to get him.
he's gonna go tell Tony right now.
Tony Schiavone got me. That's what happened. He hacked my computer and shut off my camera.
It's Schiavone.
No, I think money is an amplifier. People think it changes you one way or another. It's just money. It amplifies who you already were. So if you look at Tony Schiavone before the AEW deal and then after, the clothes he bought, that was with AEW money. And that should tell you all you need to know about his fashion sense.
Best dress every week, then.
Yeah, good for him. I think he's got a style, though. You're right. I always say if someone can dress up like you easily, then you've got a certain style. And that's Tony. You know, I mean, the first thing I do is put an earring on, but I agree. I think that's fair, Roger. But let's go ahead and Let's keep this show a moving. Number four, it's Jungle Boy. This singles match was a long time coming. And as I said earlier, and as JR reminding us, this is Jungle Boy's 42nd. Oh, he has 42 wins, I should say. He was on a trail of 42 wins, just behind Omega's 44 wins. He's gotten better the past year in every aspect and feels like a kettle that's about to overflow in where he's at. That reverse code red type move shows that he isn't just talented, he's also innovative, and he got closer than anyone to taking the title from Darby Allin. And even when things got gritty, he was able to hang. He lost today, but he's a certified A-plus star that, based on the way Twitter was responding, is going to be a top guy now, whether he has the title or not. Roger, you a Jungle Boy guy?
I'm a Jungle Boy man. Jungle Boy delivered the goods. I love when he does the Tapatia move, a classic of the Romero. And I love his moveset. I think he does a great job. I think you're right. This is the closest. I didn't believe in Matt Hardy last week, but I believed in Jungle Boy this week, and that's all that matters.
Flobo, you took shots at Jungle Boy before we even got this far. How do you feel about Jungle Boy being ranked here?
Took shots at Jungle Boy. I did not take shots at Jungle Boy. I'm just saying Darby Allin should be number one. Yeah, shots. Super kick. No, four is a good spot for Darby Allin. I would have put Jungle Boy a little bit lower, maybe six or seven. But look, doesn't mean that you don't get to be on the list with a main event showing and multiple hype packages. You carry the show, right? Only show where Blood and Guts was on the horizon. That should count for something. So, yeah, Jungle Boy is going to be on the list. And if it's on your cockamamie list at number four, I'll live.
If cockamamie is street slang for accurate, you're correct.
It's not.
Steve, do you like Jungle Boy being this high? I feel like he definitely deserves to be ranked, but I feel like maybe the argument would be this high taking a loss.
I can't go against your logic of Jungle Boy being this high because John Moxley or Pac haven't had a match this week, and Powerhouse Hobbs lost his match this week. That leaves Jungle Boy for the exact spot he's in. That said, I've always had issues with the Jungle Boy character, which is to say, is he the son? Is he Jack Perry or is he Jungle Boy?
I thought so. You were like, oh, it's offensive to Jungle Americans.
What? Oh, in this day and age, I think the answer to your question, Steve, is yes.
He is both of those things. Probably because he presents one way, but then Jim Ross calls him Jungle Boy Jack Perry.
Jim Ross, I think Jungle Boy wants one thing and Jim Ross wants another. and they're not giving up on either side of it. It'll be interesting to see if he keeps that name forever. I mean, at some point, you can't be Jungle Boy forever. I mean, you gotta be Jungle Man at the very least.
So what do we think can happen to Jungle Boy that would make him become a Jungle Man?
Well, I know one thing that'll happen.
We were talking about Taz's son Hook earlier.
So I love it.
Wait, but this happens all the time. We have the Heartbreak Kid still. Like, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
But he's the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. So right. At some point, I think at some point he could probably, let's say he gets like a giant groundswell and then he fights the champion and maybe he loses to the champion, but in a massive match, like a spectacular way, he can go away for 90 days and then he comes back and he's just Jack Perry or Jungle Boy Jack Perry.
I feel like that's what's going to eventually happen. I think it'll probably be a hard reset at some point for him, but who knows? I mean,
still going to have that song though.
That song is going to kill once there's like a big audience.
They licensed it for at least 5 years.
I mean, could you imagine like a full arena when that comes out on? Like, because even at home, I want to. Like, I'm doing
They're going to claim the video, man. Don't do it.
Yeah. A little bit.
I had somebody claim silence like 3 weeks ago. They're just claiming everything.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
That dog bark is going to get claimed.
That's not actually.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Before this gets claimed, let's move on. We'll go to the next part. Number five, MJF. F. Yet another amazing promo, getting a new silk scarf, and did an amazing job with the wordplay with the A's and B's and the F's, and calling out the strategy of why Jericho is facing certain people. And as a WCW guy, I loved the part where he called out Jericho being on Worldwide. His ability to go from great wordplay to high intensity is second to none. And if I was as good at talking as he is, I would probably be able to come up with other ways to say he's great again and again and again. But the only words I have are, take my word for it. He did it again. Flobo, now this is the first promo-only guy on the list, but I thought it was a good one. Do you think it was good enough to get ranked?
Do you write all the scripts between the show ending and going like, oh my goodness, man. Like Jack puts in the work. I'm sorry.
I'm making it up as I go.
Is it number five?
That's number five.
I actually had him higher. I actually had him two this week. So I am totally with having a pro person, because one of my biggest issues with AEW is having the Pinnacle. And unlike Roger, I'm okay with the name. But they got their asses handed to them for weeks. And so you got to give me a reason to care about them. So I think MJF did a right job. And I too popped hard the Worldwide reference, because that was my only WCW exposure as a kid. Mm-hmm. So at 25, he was sitting on 25 mil, right? So like props to MJF, yeah, showing the world that he has a trajectory. And Chris Jericho simply did not.
Flobo, the fact that the two people that watched Worldwide are on the same show is actually pretty impressive.
And Shivani was there too.
The 90s are back, baby. Yeah.
They had the entire audience of Worldwide is here right now. Steve, are you an MJF guy? Did you like this promo? Did it stand out as a promo without a match?
I'm a huge fan of MJF, and I feel his promos are as good as his matches.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where every talent should grow to be, especially given AEW's current taping schedule, where you can't have everyone wrestle a match every TV week, because they're taping, spoilers, they're taping next week's Dynamite right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to air the tape.
Right.
I'm sorry, Flobo. Sorry, I can't this way.
Wait, what? What? No. It's live.
It's live.
Someone pushed play live. You're right. No, and I think MJF is perfect exactly where he is. And MJF working with Chris Jericho is kind of what I was talking about with Hangman Adam Page, where working with Chris Jericho is enough. No one's asking, why is MJF not coming after Kenny Omega? Because he wants the top prize in the land. No, Kenny Omega has a beef with Chris Jericho, and working with Chris Jericho is good enough. We need more stuff like that on a show like this.
Yes, I agree. I think MJF has become must-see TV. I think he's almost put himself in a bad spot where he is so good on the microphone that if he's not amazing, it's a disappointment. Roger, do you agree?
I hate MJF. You guys have lost your minds. Okay, can I just... Is this the only Pinnacle member on the countdown today on the list?
Because
isn't pre-taped. I can't tell you that.
Because the man got outshined by his bodyguard. Wardlow completely outshined him. Wardlow came off like the Batista of the group, and you guys are talking about MJF. Everything MJF says is complete Kazooie. Like, the man knows nothing. He insults Jericho as a curtain jerker back when he was 25. He was back when we actually had legends competing every week. He was competing in WCW, WWE, ECW. This man has gone through everything. And if we're talking about people that really made a name for themselves, Jericho didn't need any help in WCW. That was all him. 100% Jericho.
Oh, no.
Jericho made sure to make a name for himself while MJF is getting the world handed to him, and he's still complaining. Get out of here.
I'm sorry. You're telling me Jericho just showed up and then accolades came at him? You had someone to work off of. There was a Stenko Malenko.
Hey, who went to Guerrera? Come on.
Are we just going to let him get away with saying Kazooie? We're just gonna let that 1930s word choice go.
I was gonna let it go, but
I was hoping we would let it go.
I love the Stanko Malenko reference, by the way. Hooven Turd was another good one that I enjoyed.
Jericho made Prince Iaukea look good. Like, please.
Yeah.
Prince Iaukea was good.
I like Prince Iaukea. I even like the artist formerly known as Prince Iaukea. That's right. I liked all WCW. I was a WCW guy.
Global Fact had the biggest crush on Paisley, but not sure.
Oh, wow.
So interesting points all around. I'm going to move it on to number six. Number six, Ricky Starks comes out with the best ring entrance music and the sharpest vest with tassels and a reflective sheen that set the tone for a big night right off the bat. Hung in there with one of the top stars in the company and hit a massive, massive sit-out powerbomb. Almost had Hangman in a couple of moments of defeat, but continued to show he was every bit the star that everyone is pegging him as. It wasn't his day-to-day, but Ricky Starks has always struck me as a late-night type of person, and that sun will be setting soon, and he'll be the bright star in the night sky. Steve, we already talked about him dressing great earlier on, even though they're lucky there was a roof over there, because if there was the sun out and it was hitting that vest, everyone would have been blinded. Do you like Ricky Starks taking a loss, but still ranking?
I like that for Ricky Starks because the plan for him seems to be fairly long-term. Mm-hmm. We can check the tape if I'm wrong. I don't think they plan on him holding any type of a title for the next 2 years. that he's gonna get beat like this, then heat it up, and then beat like this, and then heat it up, and that's gonna be his cycle. In
Are
a way
that
we're not
FTR
gonna
notice. Title.
The FTW title?
FTW title.
The FTW title.
That'd be great if you could take the FTR name.
Let's not count that, because there's a chance Taz could hand it to him if somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
He won't have an AEW title in the next 2 years.
But to the point made earlier, I think if that happens, then in 2 years when he gets a title, it's going to be almost like Hangman, where when he does, everyone's going to love it. Because I think Ricky Starks is one of those guys. We all know he's great, but I think we all kind of agree that, yeah, it's maybe not right now, but he's great. He's got greatness.
I think it also depends on the frequency of the cycles, if you will. Mm-hmm. If he goes through this every 2 weeks, yeah, he's going to be tarnished in 18 months for sure. Probably more like 18 weeks. Mm-hmm. If he goes through this, but in long spurts, like the cycle takes 90 days to like 6 months for him to lose to a name and then heat up on dark, then lose to a name, then heat up on dark, you can get away with that for about a year, year and a half until he has to have groundswell seems to be the word I'm using a lot, but a groundswell run.
Yeah. How about you, Roger? Do you concur?
I think Team Taz is struggling, man. I don't know if Ricky belongs here at all. I mean, he lost. Like, these guys are struggling as a group. Everyone on Twitter is talking about Hook again. Like, no one's talking about any of the other members. And it's hard to justify putting Ricky so high, in my opinion, when he's just not delivering.
Who would you put in his place?
I don't have a list. I'm just complaining.
Well, okay, Flobo, you're doing the obnoxious head nod. So you disagree with Ricky Starks, even though you think he's a very well-dressed gentleman.
Oh, yeah. Look, he looked pretty great. But to Roger's point, Team Taz is a faction that has not told me why they should be together, why anyone would be compelled to join. The win-loss records is one of the worst ones in the entire organization. And Ricky Starks, to his credit, is talented. His theme song is finally growing on me. I know you're a big fan of it, Jack.
I love it. But
he's in the position now that when he comes out, you're like, he's taking the pin. And that's a problem. That has to be shed. It took me back to like 2008 Kofi Kingston before the Randy Orton. When it was like, he came out, I was like, oh, he's losing. Okay, it's going to be a fun match, but he's losing. And so once you have Adam Page comes out, you're like, okay, we're just kind of wasting our time here. So I would not put him on the top 10 for that. That's why I gave him best dress, because I know it's not Ricky's fault. He's a phenomenal athlete. The time's going to come, but he's another one. A lot like Ishida, where you got to give me a reason week to week to build things on and why I should be engaged between appearances, not, oh, all right, cool.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I try not to add in the overall Team Taz when they're not really involved as much, but they're all fair points. All fair points across the board. I like Ricky Starks though, so I put him there. Speaking of things though that don't work out,
and that's Jack Farmer.
I'm sorry, you mean the algorithm put him there?
I mean the algorithm.
Yes. You're learning, Steve.
The algorithm again. As I always say, Steve, I've got a cork board with pins in it that has not like a yarn connecting different pictures and things like that to put it all together. It looks like a conspiracy theorist hideout, but it all makes sense to me.
You have a 3-bedroom apartment and 2 of those bedrooms are just rooms like that. I get it.
Yes.
Girlfriend's upset and everything. She's like, right. another one? No,
she gets it. She's a part of the cause.
Right. Yeah, she gets it. Speaking of things that don't work out, Steve, this is another one of our bonus sections. It's called the dud of the week. See, the show's called Dynamite, but sometimes Dynamite doesn't go off. Sometimes it's a dud. And if I'm going to rank everyone, you know, starting with the best and going through the worst, someone's at the end of the list every week, right, Steve? I hate this segment, but I got to do it. The dud of the week. I joke about this, and it's always meant to be kind of like a poking fun at people. It's like for when Jericho gets his head shoved in Dippin' Dots and that kind of thing. But honestly, this is the hardest night I've ever had to pick a dud. I don't think anyone really came off as a dud today, and I almost don't want to give it out, but I feel like it would be lame to not give it to anything. So I'm giving it to continuity today. The Elite was cutting a promo, and then there was honking outside. They stopped cutting the promo. Mox and Kingston are outside. They drive a truck into the trailer, but then they say that the Elite isn't in there. And it was like a weird setup. Like they were supposed to, like if they weren't in the truck, then who was honking at them? And why did they stop if there was no one outside to hit them? It was just a weird thing. And I feel like it was, to me, I get the gist. It's okay. Like it didn't ruin the show for me, but for me, that was the production side of it was the thing that made me go, I don't think that really played out as smoothly as it was supposed to. Roger, do you think it's fair for me to give it to continuity? And if not, who do you think you would put in the dud spot?
I assume that they all ran away. They were rocking the Jordans last week, so they could run really fast, obviously. So I assume they got out of the way as soon as that happened. I would give it to either QT Marshall or whoever designed QT Marshall in the factory's logo. I mentioned it before. It's a terrible logo. If we could put the designer of that logo as the dud of the week, I would be happy.
Wow, poor graphic
designer.
Some random
dude gets a minus point.
This graphic designer is trying to keep a job, and Roger's over here just putting him out of work. Flobo, is it fair for me to put this as a dud of the week? And if I'm not being fair, because I feel like I am kind of copping out a little bit, do you feel like if it's not fair, who do you think would be a good dud of the week?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that production was an option, so I guess I can say it's fair or not. Okay, so we talk about this too, but I would have given it to Powerhouse Hobbs, and here's why. Because you know I'm a big Christian Cage guy, and I defend him every single week because everyone does or whatever. But Christian Cage won, but I'd be the first one to admit it was not a strong outing from Christian Cage. We have seen better. He looked a little bit out of sorts, a little bit half a step, kind of a loss of step. Not even sure if he's going to be on your list tonight. But Powerhouse Hobbs, what a year ago now, we were saying unsigned talent, the next future champion. He is built like a brick house. He lost his first name, but turned heel of Team Taz, joins Team Taz, which is the kiss of death. Somehow could not put an aging Christian Cage away. I feel like that's like, if I was Taz, I'd be like, yo, man, extra laps tomorrow. You got it done. What's wrong with you?
Well, as I said off air, I almost made him the best dress just because he got rid of the asymmetrical tights.
I hate those.
Funny enough, I asked on Twitter who people thought stood out, and Hobbs was one of the people that people responded with as one of the guys that stood out. Steve, or I guess Steve, did I ask you already? Sorry, I'm being a terrible host.
You have not.
Okay, sorry. So, I'm supposed to take notes. I got so caught off guard by Flobo attacking Christian Cage. Usually he never does that. Do you feel like...
I defend, I don't attack.
Do you feel like... Oh, defend. I'm sorry, defends Christian Cage. Do you feel continuity is a fair thing to put in the dud of the week? And if not, do you think there was someone that stood out as a dud?
I feel like continuity in a wrestling show is kind of an abstract thought. I like your specific example. I think definitely earns an honorable mention. I'll take this opportunity to just ask, is anybody else tired of this lower third game? We're in the lower third. It'll be Trent with a question mark.
Oh, and
some of us who aren't completely following every moment of every match are like, that is Trent, right? Don't mess with me. Because absolutely, the lower third is supposed to tell me who the person is. And it doesn't always do
fun,
that.
Hangman's is fun, though. Hangman always has fun things on there, but I get what you're saying. That was weird because they've been introducing Trent normally, and then now they made it weird.
Coming from the school of comedy, the game is unclear because the game works for Hangman Adam Page. Because correct me if I'm wrong, it always says Hangman Adam Page, and then the smaller text that most people aren't going to read says something silly that we then tweet about. Trent question mark. I thought I had a stroke.
He's been doing that since SmackDown days, though, when he was a gatecrasher with tagging with Vance Archer. He would have it's Trent on the side of his tights.
But I think where it drove home for me was the way Justin Roberts announced him was Trent?
Unless this is his gimmick, and then I'll retract all of it. Because if it's a gimmick, it's a gimmick.
Yeah.
He's been doing it for so long, I kind of thought that was his gimmick in AEW. But you're right. I am borrowing from other promotions.
I don't think I've seen this on AEW before.
Yeah. In any case, just so I can give a name, if I had to give it to a person, it would actually be people. It would be Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky, because they've been scoping out Darby Allin for weeks now. They finally make the attack, and they just got chased off before kind of really getting any damage in. So I put them there. I would anyways. I don't think they were really – I don't think it's fair to call them a dud, though, I guess, is my thing. At number 7 – Christian Cage, for all the jokes I make about the outwork.
He has 0 points now. Yes.
This guy took a beating and kept on ticking, was thrown pillar to post, spine busted, and even got hit with a standing belly flop at one point. But to his credit, he outworked Hobbs and reversed the Oklahoma slam into a kill switch and kept his win streak alive, and already seems to have his sights set on his next opponent, absolute Ricky Starks. Flobo. Your boy, he's my here. Boy. How do you feel?
It wasn't the cleanest effort. Like I said before, he has 0 points. All the duds awards you give him. But he actually worked today. So take that, Roger. I want to see me play that now.
Oh, my God.
So, Steve, just so you know, Christian's whole thing is he's going to outwork everyone. I give him dud of the week because he says he's going to outwork everyone, and then he doesn't have a match. He just kind of hangs out backstage. So you can't say you're going to outwork everybody and then not have matches. And both matches, he's had 2 matches. Mm-hmm. Both were because someone else bullied him into the match. So I keep saying you can't really say you're going to outwork everyone when you have like people who are on Elevation, Dark, and Dynamite every week, and then you're doing 2 matches every 8 weeks. You know what I mean?
So he takes a pretty broad understanding of the word outwork. I do agree. He outsmarts his opponents. He out-earns his opponents. He out a lot of things, the AEW roster, and one day I think he will eventually outwork them.
Kaufman.
However, if his thing was out-earn everyone, I'd be like, yeah. If it was outsmart everyone, I'm like, this guy's got it. Totally.
And I'm not even saying that he didn't outwork the opponent tonight when it comes, but like he was off his feet after getting the pin. Like he was winded.
Yeah.
Like it's really difficult for you to tell me, oh man, Christian Cage, he outworked everyone.
Totally did.
Which of the two people laying on the ground is Christian Cage? The one who won. I didn't see that part.
Roger, this is the first time I've ever put, I think it's the first time I've ranked Christian Cage.
It is.
He's the guy that says he outworks everyone, but he's also the guy that always shows up late with donuts. Like, sorry, I was late, guys. Yeah, I was getting donuts.
This is a donut guy. This is a water cooler guy. Like, yes. I can't, man. I love Christian. Again, I always put myself in the mind of a little kid. If I'm tuning in and I watch this generic old guy telling me he outworks everyone and he does nothing, and he's winded.
Generic, sir.
Generic. After taking on a rookie and he can't handle like 10 minutes in the ring. Come on, man.
I mean, let's be fair. If you were the mold in 1995 and it's the year 2021, you'll come off generic even though you were the original.
That's fair. I don't like calling someone old.
That was an abstract example. I'm sorry.
I've learned, by the way, over the years, I don't call people old anymore, because every year that goes by, that age that I consider old gets higher and higher. There was a time when I was younger in high school, I was like, people should retire after 30.
I know. Haywood in the comments said, we mean geriatric, guys. That's different.
He defends Chris Jericho so the crowds come home, but a guy who actually works a match. Oh, how dare you? Whatever.
Now Flobo's going to say a guy who actually works a match. Well done, Flobo. Number 8. Wardlow, the pinnacle, and MJF were great tonight, but Wardlow really stepped up here, coming at Jericho, calling him out for stumbling when it came to talking smack about the War Dog and taking some mic time from MJF, which, I mean, with him sitting right there, that's as big a deal as buying land in New York, because it's that valuable. Wardlow has already proven he can cut a promo, but this one did something that's very rare for any wrestler to pull off, and this promo actually elevated him to an even higher level. Steve, am I putting too much on Wardlow's mic time here?
Yes. I think his mic time here only maintained him at where he was. I don't think it elevated him in any way. That said, I've had him pretty high up, but walking into today, I think when you're a part of a stable like that, you stay at the level of that stable until you leave.
Interesting. Now,
I can't dispute where you've put him on these rankings. I'm sorry, where the algorithm has put him on these rankings.
Yes. Yeah. I've got a very large computer running the numbers and printing out a long piece of paper.
That was a corkboard. Which one did you have?
Well, no, it's the three bedroom. No, the corkboards are for two of his three bedroom apartments. Then he's on the fourth floor. He owns the bottom three floors of three bedroom apartments. Yes. And those are
a lot
all
of production for a web show.
These are all full of computers that are running this algorithm. It's a very complicated algorithm.
There's lots
his
of flashing lights.
His electric bill is high, but he pays it in NFTs somehow.
Yes.
Wow. Likes. Wow.
Roger, you had mentioned Wardlow earlier. I had to stay quiet because I knew he was coming up later. Do you feel like this is fair to have Wardlow here?
Yeah, this was a pivotal moment, guys. Wardlow doesn't get enough screen time because you got this loser MJF in front of him all the time. Like, Wardlow is the real main event here. This was like a Diesel moment for him, or a Batista moment for him. This is the guy that's going to end up outshining the guy in front of him. And tonight was a great moment for him. I'm happy for him. I feel like there were no stumbles in his promo at all. Again, all these old guys, people like Jericho, stumbling on their promos. But Wardlow came in prepared, came in his prime. I love it.
Also, undefeated in 2021.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I think
he hasn't had a match since January 6th, but he's undefeated in 2021.
That means a lot. More points.
Part of statistics is that you can easily manipulate them. Flobo, I know you're a Wardlow guy. Do you like seeing him here?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would give all the points, you know, because he outworked everyone as well. You know what? Steve is right. And sometimes when someone elevates a bit, you kind of wonder when they're going to jump off, kind of like when Batista was in Evolution, to Roger's point. So it was cool to see him actually do it. He kind of struggled with a scarf, but can't knock it against him because I struggle with scarves as well. But it was a good showing. And so, yeah, give him all the points.
Yeah, I mean, he walks alone inside this pit of danger. Number 9, Tay Conti. The short video packages before the match helped out so much, and I love that they did it for her. Tay Conti has had a very great ascension and elevation to this match, which made this match not only feel earned, but also feel like the title was really in danger, as opposed to just a random one-off defense. I said it a few weeks ago, but Tay Conti was always a great competitor, but now she seems so much more emotionally invested as of late, and that has been such a difference maker for her. Took a loss, but is still a contender in my eyes, and I believe in the eyes of the fans. Roger, do you agree?
Yeah, again, I feel bad for her back. She might not be able to walk for a few weeks. But yeah, I mean, she's been killing it, man. Her improvement, I mentioned it a few weeks ago, definitely most improved wrestler the past year or so. But yeah, I'm okay with it.
Now, Flobo, you had her ranked at number 1 earlier. Is it fair that she's still on the list?
I think it's a little harsh to Conti, and I know it's hard to bring outside influences into the particular episode of Dynamite. But the question that AEW has to answer as a company is, how do you build a star from the inside out? And even though Tay Conti was plied her craft somewhere else, you can argue that everyone that AEW's picked up from other promotions was really the true person that got elevated within the AEW system. She was rank and file at her previous employer, but now not only was she the number one contender, she took the champion to the limit. That's why I had her higher, because you look at someone like Miro, or even a lot of the other ones too, they just are as high as they were. Mox is a former world champion, but he was a world champion before. Tay looks bona fide. And that says a lot about AEW system, the management, the staff, or whatever. So, yeah, I'll put him on the list for sure. But that's why I had her hire today.
Steve, do you agree with the rank and file? She's a former person from somewhere else and kind of living person. Off of that.
I will say that Orlando promotion you're speaking of, the only way to get anywhere in that promotion is to be rank and file. The people who break out are the people who get cut. And who's to say she didn't try that or even just do that? I pose a question back. If Dr. Britt Baker were to beat Hikaru Shida in their next upcoming bout, I don't think it's next week. I think it's May 4th.
Yeah.
Is that booked yet? Okay.
I don't know when it is, but I mean, it's clearly happening.
If Britt Baker were to beat Hikaru Shida, would you take back this ranking?
No.
Okay.
And one of the reasons it's this low is actually because I felt like Britt Baker kind of outshined her at the end.
Okay. That's interesting. I think Britt Baker takes the whole spot personally, only because I see a certain level of finality to what happened to Tay Conti tonight. I don't think we're going to... Like, I don't think we're going to see her in the world title picture for another 5 weeks, 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Because between
Sky, for sure.
Because it seems to me like Hikaru Shida is going to lose to Dr. Britt Baker, and then Dr. Britt Baker has a built-in feud with Thunder Rosa. So yes. And then not to mention Red Velvet coming up through those ranks. I think it's going to get mighty crowded.
We're getting crowded.
We might not see Tay Conti. I don't think we're going to see Tay Conti this high up in the rankings, possibly for the rest of 2021. And it's only April.
That's interesting, because that's not even counting Jade Cargill and Nyla Rose, which has had a few shots already. But with Vicky Guerrero, she's probably going to be in the conversation forever. So yeah, that's a very good point. But yeah, that's kind of what I mean. I didn't mean it as a disrespect to Tay Conti when I say that Britt Baker kind of took the shine off, but it did feel, to your point, kind of like, okay, she's done next. Britt Baker isn't ranked just because she didn't say anything or have a match. So it'd be kind of like, I mean, the graphic design person that probably also made the factory logo did more there.
Didn't Sue make the list once?
Don't you dare guess who's on this
list. Was that a bottom floor computer? What was that about?
You know, I was still updating the servers and things like that. It was a weird one.
Some old OS? Is that what we're going on?
Yeah. I updated too early. You're always supposed to wait like a little bit and make sure all the bugs are out. But I updated right away. So number 10, it's QT Marshall. He was right. We weren't talking about him before all this happened with the Nightmare Family, but here we are talking about him and what he's doing. Also, his team, Anthony Agogo, is starting to become the kind of guy that we all want to see in the ring, just to see how well his gut punch will take him in the big spots. And Camarado taking a chair shot to the head, shattering like visual candy for my eyeballs, sweet tooth. And then, of course, we've got people who are unsure of where the factory was before all this. But after tonight, I, for one, am interested in seeing what they plan on doing next and how far they'll go, especially in how they're going to handle the crafty veteran Dustin Rhodes. Flobo, it's the number 10 spot. I'm going to let you have the first word on this. Do you think QT Marshall flexing some muscle with his stable now?
I am torn because I like the idea of splitting up the Nightmare family, or a schism, or whatever you want to call it. If it was me, if I had the book as it would, I would have it led by a heel, Dustin Rhodes. I think that's how you bring credibility to a legacy that is somehow split from the Cody line. QT Marshall has rookies with him. He's still the least interesting guy in that stable. I want to see the other dudes. Like, I don't know what it's missing for me. I don't know if I want a skywritten reason to care about QT Marshall. But frankly, when he comes out, it's like, aside, that go-go guy's pretty fly.
A go-go so, dressed really well, by the way. He was also a contender.
He did. I guess a point's fine, by the answer your question.
Yeah, so it's 1 point. It's the 10th spot. It's not the it's not the home run spot of the night, but I feel like it was worth mentioning him. Steve, do you think he deserves a spot on the list?
I think he absolutely deserves a spot on the list. And this is the first I've heard the criticism that he's dull outside of the ring. Because little secret, like up until tonight when I was going to come on and talk about this show, AEW programming is something that's usually watched at the gym while doing cardio. With minimal commentary being heard. So I like promos were something to kind of wash over me. Mm-hmm. However, watching QT Marshall with the sound down in the ring, he can really tell a story, even tonight.
Absolutely.
And I think it just kind of dawned on me, because this is a launching point for me to talk shit. It just kind of dawned on me that maybe this faction needs a dedicated manager that isn't QT Marshall. If it were really to evolve beyond where we all think it's going to go, which is that they're just going to lose in a multi-person tag match that shines a bunch of rookies against Cody. That feels like the ceiling to me for all of this, which is why they're not giving any more thought to what I'm saying.
Well, I you know, it's interesting because I do agree. It's interesting. I agree, but like, I feel like this is exactly what it's supposed to do. And so I'm also kind of torn in changing it, because I feel like it's also effective, because I think having Dustin Rhodes on the other side of it is what's going to make it really interesting, especially to your point. I think he's great in the ring. I think he has great matches. I think he gets a little poo-pooed on because he's not the guy that's like going on, you know, 10 match win streaks and things like that. But I don't think that affects how good he is. Roger, you...
Well, hold on. Before we get to Roger, I was going to say, props to Steve for flexing. He's at the gym doing cardio. I'm kind of slacking on that. But
for the record, when I say gym, I mean the room on the other side of that wall.
Right.
I said what I said.
It's LA. Most of these gyms ain't open still.
No. Roger, do you think he doesn't even deserve a top 10 spot?
You guys, the reason this doesn't work, it's because... No one in the factory cares about him. This is like the guy that spends like 7 months on your couch and then he makes a big stink when he leaves and he's like, you know, I'm leaving my family. And I'm like, no one wants you on this couch, man. Like, QT Marshall is a great wrestler. You're right. If I turn off all the audio, he's great. But I have ears and I don't have the audio off. And QT Marshall, like I mentioned it before, he looks like a warehouse manager who decided to become a wrestler. He comes out with this terrible logo that looks like he's I saw the comment. It looks like he's leading his bowling league. Like, the guy just doesn't have anything to excite me or make me believe that he's going to take down the whole family. Like, there's nothing there that shows me that.
But isn't Roger, by the way, thank you for giving me my start in Hollywood on your couch. It was real nice of you.
Yeah. Get out of here, Steven.
This is the first I've heard I overstayed my welcome.
But I was gonna say, point though, that's kind of who he is. He acts like he deserves all this credit and stuff, and a lot of people are like, we don't even care. But isn't that kind of the point?
Do you want to see that guy get beat? Not really. Just go that way.
Do we want to see Cody in the ring? Like, I think Cody's positioning himself as like, he'd hate to hear this, but a mini Triple H, where it's the honor to be involved.
Cody is still someone I would pay to see. Again, QT is someone that would fix my car. Like, there's a difference here. I wouldn't pay to see him fix my car. Wow. I would pay him to fix it. I don't want to see you highlighted as an actual threat.
I can't believe you're saying this about the Master of the Diamond Cutter.
I think... But similarly, back to my point that I think they think Cody Rhodes is such a draw that whoever's going to go up against Cody Rhodes, they don't need to do the work, as it were.
Right.
Into why we're so half-hearted on QT Marshall, that we all agree in the ring, especially on mute, he tells a story in the ring better than most people on this show. You hand him a microphone, and I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I'm as harsh as Roger, but he does seem very much like second in command guy. That's what I'm saying. Like, is there going to be a head to it? Someone to go promo for promo with Cody, or have a Cody out? Because it always felt like when QT Marshall was on the Nightmare Family, back when it was a small faction, remember those days, that he was kind of like Cody's training buddy, and Cody had him under his wing. I don't think he's sold, or I don't think I'm bought on to the fact that he is this credible threat.
I think the long end story, the thing we're going to see in the end, in my opinion, at least my prediction, is sometimes stables aren't about the person who's leading it. The big star comes out of it. So like Evolution, it was Randy Orton coming out of Evolution and things like that. I think this is all to make Anthony Ogogo the next big star. True. I think this is his introduction into that world.
Absolutely. But still, Triple H did the promos every week.
Yeah, exactly.
Ric Flair did the things in the ring that go, oh my God, they're doing it, and Randy Orton build it up. This is brand new.
Wanted to see Evolution. I don't want to see the Factory, man. I forget what their name is. They have that terrible Shane Douglas logo. I hate it.
I love the Shane Douglas logo. Don't you dare say that.
What I think they're trying to do is Evolution if Triple H and Ric Flair weren't there every week. That's what they're doing with this.
I think it's a different starting point for sure. I mean, I'm not trying to say QT Marshall is Ric Flair.
It's the equivalent to making Batista and Randy Orton feud with Ric Flair and Triple H, and Ric Flair and Triple H didn't show up every week. That's kind of what we're faced.
I think that right now they're just trying to I think it's all to insert Anthony Ogogo without him just becoming a star, but you need to have him around people. One, like a QT Marshall who's good in the ring, and two, people that he can start getting wins over, where it doesn't feel like this former boxer who's a star in Europe is now suddenly pushed down our throats as a super credible guy. He can have a rivalry with someone from, you know, with a Lee Johnson and get a win over Lee Johnson, and we'll go, okay, well, I buy that. And then he can have a win over Captain Dean. I think it's Dean Alexander. I'm blanking on the name right now, but like he can get the wins over the Nightmare Family guys. And then eventually it'll probably implode with the Factory. And then he can get the big win over QT Marshall and then move on into the real world of pro wrestling. If that makes sense. That's my prediction.
Everything you're saying makes perfect sense. I think it's a great way to build a go-go. It's just not a rod I want to jump on. Like, let me know how it ends in 6 months. I will fast forward.
You know what I mean? Sean Dean. That's it. I'm sorry. So Haywood corrected me. Thank you, Haywood, in the chat. The captain Sean Dean is who I was thinking of. Apologies to Sean Dean.
Do you have to correct that in the second floor computer?
It's going to overheat. Make sure all the corrections.
Make sure it pops out right next time.
Right. The fire alarm's going to go off in a second when it starts smoking because the name is put in there wrong. Real quick, we have one last thing for this show. One last award I like to give out. And it's not really something to debate. It's just a thing I give out. I call it the Farmer's Market Pick, because my name is Jack Farmer, and when you go to a farmer's market, you get fresh new produce, but also I treat it as like the stock market, farmer's market, and I give the name of a wrestler who is on Elevation or Dark that you think the stock is going to go up soon, meaning like buy the stock now because they're still new, but it's going to go up. I try to pick a different person every week, so I try not to have the same person every week. This week, Farmer's Market Pick is Will Alday. Has the look, has the presence, has great showing against Joey Janela. And I don't say this lightly, but he reminded me a bit of one Shawn Michaels with the hair and the shiny tights and the quick moves. I saw him up close and personal at Primetime Live back in late 2020, and I think he'd be a great signing for anyone going forward. So if you could invest in a pro wrestler, invest in Will Alday. I think that one's going to pay off down the road. There you go. I mean, if you guys want to argue,
as everyone's scrolling through some AEW Dark and Elevation results to kind of see if there are any names they've seen on the indies that they're like, no, I know they're good.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I watch the show. I just try to give a little like, hey, check this person out. They're great. Look them up. They did some good things. But that's
Have you bet on Tesha Price yet while we're going through? That's who I would bet on this week.
I don't remember.
Maybe not. I don't know.
It's to the moon. I'm locking in my investment on Tesha Price this week.
Tesha Price. There
it's
you go.
Farmers market, Steve. Don't do it.
There's some competition in the market.
So Kaufman's market.
Kaufman's in German, that would be market, but all right.
market. Tesha Price. Yeah, Tesha Price is great. She's been on there quite a bit, and she's pretty good too. So she'd also be someone worth checking out as well. But that's it for us. We went a little overtime, but I thought it was a fun show either way. But before we go, anyone I missed, and we'll just kind of go around the horn here. First, Steve, anyone I missed or anyone you think deserves a shout out? And two, where can we find you online?
No, I think you actually covered, because Thunder Rosa hasn't appeared. I think she's also a key player in that women's division currently. And you can find me on Twitter almost exclusively. I'm at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. Some would say I am heavily involved in the pro wrestling talk YouTube space. And if you're watching those videos like that, chances are I'm involved.
Very cool. Yes, you are involved in quite a few. But Roger, where can we find you online? And did I miss anybody, or did you have any final comments on the list?
I am good with everything, guys. I could barely hear anything. There were some tech issues, but all is good. You can find
me at Roger.
This whole time. So I was just pretending to laugh for a while.
Ow, Roger, damn. I thought I was hilarious.
Roger is incredible at reading social cues, though. Right. He just moved along.
The last 10 minutes are a blur. Yeah. But it's been a pleasure. You can find me on YouTube, Roger Talks Wrestling.
And Flobo, I'm not gonna, if you want to argue, you can, but no one believes you anyways. But also, what's where can we find you online?
Excuse me, sir. of course, Christian Cage will always be number one in my heart every week. But I had Tay Conte, MJF, and Penta in the top three for me. And the reason being is that Penta's been doing a zero-minute thing for a long time, but it seems kind of fresh. And that promo has meant a lot to me. I think there's something on the horizon, even though we don't respect promos as much on this show. But you can follow me online at flobito.com, FLOBITO.com. And if you want to see all the shows that I'm hosting, that I'm producing, it's New Amsterdam. That's KNEWAmsterdam.com.
Pentagon almost made Best Dressed as well with the Batman mask this time around. But my name is Jack Farmer. You can find me across all social media at Real Jack Farmer. And on Twitter, you can follow me for all the other silly things I'm doing, like the Anytime Radio Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and all that good stuff. But you guys know the drill. Thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, as always, do your best and be yourself.